视线，
God giving peace. Can you hear me?
Yes.
When we're going through trials and tribulations, maybe that's what this lesson is about today. But he promises that no matter what we're going through, that we can have peace, his peace. Let's look at that little intro that I did yesterday called Your Calling. You guys hear me okay in the back? This is going to be about, the lesson is about Daniel in the lion's den and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And chances are we won't be able to read all the scripture. We'll see how time goes. But I urge you to take the lesson home after we summarize it in this class and read every line of the scripture because it really helps. Look at this intro. This one sheet says, Your Calling. Everybody have a copy of that? Ephesians 4:1 says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul said, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. Everybody say calling. With which you were called. We all have a calling in our lives from God. Quite often, we do not recognize what it is. Some just assume they know their calling, but it may be wrong. Well, don't feel guilty or inferior if you don't recognize your calling or if you feel like you do not have one. And I'm going to add, if your calling is to be a stay-at-home mom or whatever. Okay. Stay in touch with God, and He will cause you to walk in your calling, often without you even knowing it. Remember, callings aren't for Pastor Mark, people that teach Bible study. Callings are for every child of God. Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, the three men in the fire, were not sure of their calling. They did boldly spread the word around Babylon. Maybe they thought that was their calling, because they were very bold about it. But look at this. However, their major calling was to overcome impossible sufferings so that the kings of Babylon, that's Nebuchadnezzar and Darius, spread the word of God worldwide. That only occurred due to their keeping their lives sanctified in the Lord on a day-to-day basis. Just concentrate on staying close to Jesus and overcoming. And when you get to heaven, you will see your calling was fulfilled. If you know the stories, in both cases, the lion's den and the three men in the fire, I just tell you the end of the lesson before we start it. After they came out of the furnace and after they came out of the lion's den, the kings were so impressed with what their God had done, they ordered the gospel preached worldwide. How many times has the gospel been preached worldwide like that? I think Nebuchadnezzar said, if they don't listen, I'll cut their heads off. Which is one way to preach it, I guess.
We'll get to it.
It's in here.
Yeah, okay.
Lesson. Satan has been cast down to earth for us to deal with him. Revelation 12, 10, and 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Talking about Satan, right? Been cast down to earth. Why? So we can overcome him, Satan, the satanic beings on this earth. Remember, he's already been overcome by God in heaven at the cross and the resurrection. But now it's our job to deal with these satanic beings here on earth, like we teach all the time. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, not by their lives to the death. Now Luke 11 is something I use a lot in overcoming. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Like these little satanic demons that are dealing around the earth, okay? But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, that's one of us, he takes from him all his armor which he trusted and divides the spoils. Now the spoils, you know, we all live in Babylon. We live in Mystery Babylon. Revelation 18 says the world system is called Mystery Babylon. So what they're doing here in Babylon, the city or the country years ago, we're doing here in Mystery Babylon. And the spoils, if you look at Revelation 18, some of the spoils from Mystery Babylon are the souls of men. So when we overcome issues in our life, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did and Daniel did, who knows how many thousands of people got saved around the world that they never saw. And it wasn't them preaching to them. It was just their overcoming. Okay. The word overcome is translated in Strong's translation concordance. It's called overcome, to conquer, prevail, to get the victory, to conquer. When one is arranged or goes to law, this is a courtroom thing, to win the case, maintain one's cause, to carry off the victory, come off victorious of Christ, victorious over all his foes of Christians that hold fast their faith, even unto death, against the power of their foes, temptations, and persecutions. I'm convinced that our purpose here on earth is to overcome the demonic attacks and curses that come against us so others will be set free. Basically, overcoming is seeing there's an issue, a trial in your life, a tribulation, a suffering, or something like that, and saying, wait a minute now. We have Jesus living inside of us, and these little demons don't have power, but still the suffering's there, right? Overcome means you just hang on. It means you know who you are in Christ. It means you speak the word against these forces, and it means you don't give up. Too many people give up. Why is this happening to me, God? Well, I mean, once in a while it's okay to ask that question. But to complain and to give up and say, I guess this doesn't work, I'll stop going to church, or, you know. We have to, when we're in trials and tribulations and sufferings, doesn't feel good, does it? The last thing but you need to know the truth. Okay, twice in the book of Daniel, God gives us examples of overcoming suffering, even to the point of death, and how it worked to further the kingdom. I believe that the stories of Daniel's and the lion's den, three men in the furnace from the book of Daniel, confirm the point that God's primary purpose for our lives here on earth is to be agents for bringing God's kingdom to earth, his original idea for creation. It also confirms that often involves overcoming, which involves challenges and even sufferings. These stories further confirm that our task is to allow God to continually conform us into his image, so that overcomers, we can claim that the attacks from the evil forces upon us are illegal, just as the crucifixion of Jesus was illegal. This is how we overcome, by persevering and being conformed to the image of Christ in us. The fact that Jesus was righteous and without sin is what caused him to overcome death and defeat Satan. So the same way in us, his righteousness in us causes us to overcome and defeat the spiritual forces. That's why it was a courtroom thing. Jesus overcame because Satan illegally crucified him. It's illegal to kill a righteous person. We talk about that all the time. The same applies to us. You have the righteousness of God inside of you, so it's illegal to put curses on you. And when that happens, you're in the overcoming process. Everybody with me? Any questions? Got it? Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image, in ever-increasing splendor from one degree to his glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit. Please notice as you go through these stories that Daniel and his fellow Israelites were captives in Babylon. Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation represents the spiritual evil world system that governs earth right now. Therefore, I submit these stories are examples to us for the magnificent and unfathomable resurrection power of God working in our lives, so we go through overcoming the evil forces in our lives. Everybody say resurrection.
Resurrection.
When you go through such sufferings that you feel you're dead, what comes next?
Resurrection.
That's right. But you cannot have resurrection without. Thank you. As you read these stories, consider that what probability was for survival. How impossible were the circumstances? What about your circumstances? Do they look impossible? I believe that God's kingdom, as we experience bonuses as we go through the fires and lion's den, life with victory and his power. Others will be blessed by our sacrifices. Let me see what we got time for here.
Really, I think it might be really good if you read that scripture, because some people may not have ever heard this scripture.
You got it.
I think it might be really good.
I think I got time. Nebuchadnezzar the king made a gold image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, administrators, governors, and counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so this thing was huge. Then a herald cried out, "To you it's commanded, O people, nations, and languages." Can you imagine a huge statue, a gold statue of Nebuchadnezzar? Everybody has to go worship it. "Then at that time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all its kinds of music. You shall fall down and worship the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." So at that time, when all people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forth and accused the Jews. And they spoke and said to Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever.'" Next page. "You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, harp, psaltery, in symphony with all sorts of kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province, Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these guys they were doing pretty good there. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all sorts of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, if he doesn't deliver us,
let
it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image you have set up. Notice in the face of these three young men, I believe that their faith in who they were in Christ is what protected them in the fire. Daniel 3:19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke, commanded they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. This guy was mad. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tie them up, okay? Cast them into the burning fire furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, trousers, turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame and the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just because they got close to throwing him in the furnace, the guys that threw him in, okay. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast three men bound to the midst of the fire? They answered and said, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Jesus was the fourth man in the fire, but he is the only...
Three went in and there were four. What is that fourth man in the fire?
I'm going to tell you something. That's God himself.
I don't care what kind of fire you're in.
He's in there with you. And you have to hang on. And you have to believe that.
That's where you get peace. Be still.
You have to hang on. Doesn't matter what troublemaker have been accusing you of whatever. There was some troublemakers, some demons.
Right.
The devil was using them to get Nebuchadnezzar mad with them because they believed in the one God. Now, we all can have experiences in our life, have some troublemakers try to cause us trouble. But if you hold on to the Lord, he'll be in that fire with you and you'll come out of it unsinned.
Amen.
I believe that.
Look at.
I think sometimes rather than holding on or hanging on, these three took a pivotal stand.
Yes.
And proclaimed their faith in God. Reminds me of what I call the three stages of God's work. Impossible, difficult, done.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And Nebuchadnezzar, even though he didn't know God, he could recognize him.
He recognized him. That's right. God had Nebuchadnezzar on his list. Nebuchadnezzar got saved.
Yeah.
After he went crazy for a while. Yes, sir.
Also that he stated that he's going to show up and that you know what even if he doesn't
even if
we're
he
does. Still with
I
him,
like that
you know even
I
if
like
he doesn't show. Doesn't shake me off
right.
We need to be that way don't we
yes.
That's it that's the deal
but this is the courtroom that Larry's been sharing with you this they were in a courtroom and they were sentenced and they were thrown in the fiery furnace
then
Nebuchadnezzar above it isn't he
that's right. Jesus was the fourth man in the fire, but he's the only one that did not come out. He took their penalty, their suffering, and their sin. Then Nebuchadnezzar was near the mouth of the fiery furnace, Daniel 3:26, and spoke, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. Even the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. Not even the smell of fire was on them. Notice that the result, here you go, Orlean. Gospel was preached throughout the entire inhabited earth. Notice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Daniel, did not focus on preaching the Lord, but just in living godly lives. They were preaching the Lord, but that wasn't their main focus. Daniel 3:28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word." Now this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking about himself. "And yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be cut in pieces." That's one way to preach the gospel, isn't it? "Don't talk against my God, or I'll take my machete and cut you in pieces. And their houses should be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver us." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Daniel 4:1-3. "Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, peace has multiplied to you. I thought it would be good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation." Now, we know that there was, I don't know the exact, I haven't been studying this lately, but we know that Nebuchadnezzar finally did go kind of nutty and go crazy, and for several months or years or something, just stayed kind of nutty. But God revived him, and he got saved. And he's in heaven. Okay? Wonder what kind of discussions he has with Daniel then up in heaven.
Sorry, may I say?
Hey, Dan, what do you think back then, man? I got a question. I've been talking about this. That has nothing to do with the lesson. What do you think when in heaven, when Jesus sees his mother Mary, does he call her mama? Think about it.
You know, if you put yourself back into that time frame and you understand that Babylon was the ruling country, really, of the world, that and you realize the powerful influence, and then you realize these Jewish boys that took a stand for God and they would not worship that gold, then it was spread throughout the whole kingdom. And the most beautiful part about it is we're reading about it in 2016. And it's encouraging us to live by faith and to trust God that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We can trust him, and we put our faith in him. So in all through the ages, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has been taught. So it has spread through that world, and it has spread through eternity.
There's something also, I'm not sure if I wrote about this. These weren't any three Jews that they threw into the fire. These were these three boys. And if you look at their history, they lived godly lifestyles. They had to stay righteous to the degree they could.
That's
stay righteous.
That's why they were picked on.
And if they hadn't stayed righteous, they wouldn't have made it through the fire. If they'd been gossips, if they'd been full of anger or bitterness, they wouldn't have made it. They'd have burned. Same with us.
You, even today, as I looked at that video earlier, the peace that was on the faces of those singers and those people sitting there, you don't see that piece at your homeowners association meeting or at the Rotary Club or at a secular corporate board meeting. That's something special from God. The three men had it. Those folks have it. And that's why I think it's very important not to forsake the gathering of the brethren.
Perfect, Barry.
Larry,
I like that.
When you're laying in a hospital bed and you're at the mercy of nurses, and you see one of them that comes in with that kind of peace, you know you have struck heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, what a blessing.
you know, just a quick story about what Carol said. I think we have a minute. Our daughter Elizabeth delivered the twins that many of you know, Mike and Gabriel, in 2009. They weighed 26 pounds. I mean, they were 26 weeks, and they weighed 2 pounds, less than 2 pounds. And the doctor came in and told her all the bad, gave her a list of the bad things that will probably happen to the boys. And then the nurse came in, and Carol knows the story better than I do, but I'm going to abbreviate it. Who started, and Elizabeth was telling her about all these bad things, and they said, oh no, it can happen that way. And Carol recognized her Liberian accent. So are you from Liberia? She said, I sure am. She said, do you know Brother Benjamin? And she couldn't quite say the last name. Yeah, he's my brother. I know him real well. And she started preaching to Elizabeth about how the boys would be perfect, they'll be okay.
That gave her the liberty to tell her she's got to be strong, she's got to stand on the
and
word.
And those boys are perfect.
She's got to believe. I thought, Lord, thank you. I've been sitting here trying to tell her that.
And geographically, she may have been from Liberia, but her citizenship was in heaven.
Oh, said, yes, thank you, Barry. You want to teach the rest of the class? The story of Daniel and the lion's den. Now remember, Daniel was also a state of righteous person. He prayed all the time. But when he prayed, he always started with repentance. He always started with confession of sin. That was the first. Not only for him, but also for the rest of his brothers. It was a big deal. Daniel 6, 1 through 21. It pleased Darius. And some people think that Darius was also Cyrus. I'm not sure. We're not sure about that. But anyway, to set up the kingdom, 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors of whom Daniel was one. Can you imagine that Daniel had that high of an office? That the satraps might give account to them so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the throne and said this to King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute, there's another statute, and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree, that sign this writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Now, King Darius was tricked into this. Later on, he regretted he did this. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his days. Now this was against the decree that he wrote, right? Whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you shall be cast. So here he was caught praying at this window. Broke the written decree. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show any due regard for you, O king, for the decree you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, he was greatly displeased with himself. He liked Daniel and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down to the sun to deliver him. Then these three men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statutes which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve, continually, he will deliver you. Now that took a lot of faith for the king to say that, didn't he? Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the lion, in the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went into his palace and spent the night fasting. Now isn't that interesting? He had no musicians were brought before him. Also sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the lion's den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke to Daniel, saying, this king had a lot of faith, didn't he? You know, most people would say, bring the garbage can so we can just get the ashes out of here. He cried out, the king spoke to Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Look at the reason why Daniel was not touched by the lions. Innocence. He was called innocent. Strong concordance. Definition, to be clean, pure, to be justified. And I believe that Daniel chapter 9:5 shows how Daniel normally started his prayers. He confessed his sins and the sins of the people. That's one of the main ingredients of Daniel's innocence. So here he was, an innocent man, righteous in the fire, and it was illegal. I mean, in the lion's den, it was illegal. Daniel 6:20, and my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, king, I have done no wrong before you. And the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, but no injury was found in him because he believed in his God. Can you imagine Daniel spending the night with those lions that are just purring at him?
I wonder what he was thinking, if he was even afraid of maybe not.
Who knows? There was angels in there. He must have been like, they must have been like kitty cats. Well, you know, it says that in the latter days that lions will lie down with the lambs, right? So this was like they went into the future for the same, didn't they? Hey, little kitty cat, how you doing?
Because the king came in and Daniel was like, hey, you know, he said, are you okay? And he basically was like, hey, I'm great. Long, you know, how are you doing?
Yeah.
You live forever. It's like, I'm not even mad.
No, I'm not even mad.
It's bizarre. Not even bizarre. It's amazing.
We were talking about that earlier. About hate. No, there was no hatred or bitterness.
Nothing.
You know. Larry, may I say something?
Yes.
That reminds me of a story that we've heard and we've seen on a movie of David Livingstone, who was so caught up in the presence of God in his time in Africa. You know the missionary story in the 1800s of David Livingstone, who was the first white man that went into the interior of Africa. He was probably in that area of Tanzania, and he just poured so much love on those African tribes. But the love of God was hitting him so heavy. He was actually trying to find the source of the Nile for London, for England. But he brought in the gospel of Jesus with the word of God. And you could see him in the movie in his quiet times with the Lord praying and the lions all around him.
That's right.
So I believe that even the lions know when the presence of God is around. Don't you?
That's right. I remember that.
Look,
find that movie.
I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
When Larry's talking about innocence, none of us have been without sin. But in that repentance and that forgiveness, and through the blood of Jesus, we're all placed in that innocent place. And when we are in his word, when we're in his presence, when we're before him, he's right there. And that's where the power in the presence is.
And when we display anger and bitterness and all sorts of bad things, which I'm sure none of you do, just me.
Oh, no.
When we repent, we're innocent again. But we need to do it 50 times a day, right?
And inviting him back into our lives so that we'll have the peace.
Bottom of page 6. Look at the result of Daniel's overcoming. First, those men who had been accused of Daniel, they were cast into the lion's den. Second, the gospel was preached throughout the entire inhabited earth. Page 7. The king gave the command that they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Them, not only them, but their children and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever hit the bottom of the den. Those lions were hungry. Imagine when these evil people were thrown into the lion's den. They were broken to pieces even before they hit the ground. Daniel 6:25. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages. Here you go again, Arlene. That the will of peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. So let us all be Daniels who allow God to conform us to his image, so that we may glorify him. Comments, testimonies, questions? Yes, Judy.
You can sit in front of the mirror for 10 minutes and have your pity party, but then get up and move on.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Paul.
Our lady's cold is gone. I'd like to volunteer her to sing that song for the people that weren't there.
Good idea. Good idea.
Obey your husband.
This is a song that she wrote. It's Jewish, got Jewish roots. She sang it at our party, and we were all surprised that she could even sing this good, or that she could write a song like this, but it was the Lord.
It was, yes.
And this is the one that the Herreras are going to produce.
Yes, yes. In fact, Renee has already arranged the song, and we're going over to hear what he's done. So I'll do my best. This is called Under Your Tallit, and I think most of you know a tallit is a Jewish prayer shawl. So I hope it will bless y'all. I'll do my best to get through it.
Arlene, wouldn't you think it's about being in the presence of God?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I mean, it's under his covering. It's under his blood covering.
Yes.
And I did not write it. The Lord just downloaded it to me in its entirety. Lyrics and music in 1999, so I can't take credit for it. Under your tallit, I dwell safe and secure. Under your tallit, my hiding place is sure. Though life is full of struggle, your joy is fuller still. Under your tallit, I'm in your sovereign will. Yeshua, my high priest, you tore the veil in two. I stepped inside, you welcomed me to share this place with you, both Gentile and Jew. Under your tallit, I dwell safe and secure. Under your tallit, my hiding place is sure. Though life is full of struggle, your joy is fuller still. Under your tallit, I'm in your sovereign will. Yeshua, you are the one who reigns in majesty. Into your royal priesthood you have adopted me, so that we can be, y'all can join me,
Under your talit, I dwell safe and secure. Under your talit, our hiding place is sure. Though life is full of struggle, your joy is fuller still. Under your talit, I'm in your sovereign will.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
Would you like to close with prayer? Would you close?
Thank you for letting us be with you today. May we all read your word, and every time we read, get something wonderful, new, life. And may we all have some of that innocence rub off on us as Daniel had. And watch over us always, watch over us this week. Keep us safe until we get together.
Amen.